Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
No faith justifies these murderous and craven acts. No just and loving God looks upon them with favor. For what he has done, we know that the killer will be met with justice in this world and the next.
This bill is the most direct assault on the Hyde language we've had since 1997. Let us stand together on principle of no public funding for abortion, no public funding for insurance policies that pay for abortion.
If enacted, this amendment will be the greatest restriction of a woman's right to choose in our careers. Would we expect people to buy supplemental insurance for cancer treatment? Like it or not, this is a legal medical procedure.
You'd say to the atheist, okay, pal, do you believe there's life after death? And the Richard Dawkins would say, no, I'm confident there isn't. And you say, but how do you know? What information do you have that the religious believer doesn't have?
Did you see the headline in the Wall Street Journal yesterday? Catholic Church emerges as key player in legislative battle, talking about some behind-the-scenes lobbying on the part of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops with regard to health care reform, in particular the potential federal funding for abortion that may or may not finally make it through in health care reform bills. I wonder if the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, that have been very upfront for decades that they want universal health care in the U.S., they're very clear about this, had to choose between universal health care and federal funding for abortion, which would they choose? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll spend the first segment talking to Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about Roman Catholics and health care reform. Then we'll discuss 4th century bishop, theologian, and veteran Martin of Tours. Our guest will be Pastor Heath Curtis. In about a half hour, we'll discuss suicide seminars here in the U.S. being led by Australia's Dr. Death with Kathy Hamlin of the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide. And we'll conclude today's program talking with Army Chaplain Jonathan Shaw about Veterans Day. Our call-in number on this Wednesday afternoon, the 11th of November, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
So if the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops did have to choose between two things that they want universal health care and they want no more federal funding for abortion. If they had to choose between universal health care and federal funding, direct or indirect, for abortion, which would they choose?
Well, I think the behavior of the bishops in the last couple of months has made it very clear that they are choosing. Basically, they are not going to get on board, and they have not gotten on board with any of the proposals for universal health care precisely because of the abortion language. And so they are really blocking the way to universal health care by saying we're not putting up with this abortion language that is in there. And I must say that as a Catholic, I'm heartened to see the bishops taking this hard line. 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been sure what the answer to that question was. But now there's absolutely no question. The bishops are taking a very principled stance, I think, and saying, the health care is all well and good, but abortion is a non-negotiable issue. And so federal funding for abortion is absolutely critical, that we block that any new health care bill that comes out simply cannot have that. And there are a couple of other things that they're tracking as well, so that even if they win on the no federal funding for abortion issue, there are other issues that, as far as they're concerned, could kill the deal. So I think it's been quite interesting to watch all of the maneuvering going on, both in public and kind of behind the scenes a little bit.
Well, Lori Rubiner is quoted in the Wall Street Journal. She's vice president for public policy at Planned Parenthood, as saying the Catholic bishops came in at the last minute and drew a line in the sand. It's very hard to compete with that. How much influence do you think that the Conference of Catholic Bishops does have and is willing to exercise?
Well, that's a very good question. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, I kind of question the source there. I mean, the president of Planned Parenthood, you know, Planned Parenthood has always thought that the Catholic Church is public enemy number one as far as they're concerned. So, you know, anytime the bishops burp a little bit, they're you know, all incensed about it and saying how big and mean and awful the Catholic Church is. So her discounting her opinion a little bit, you know, is hyperbole. I do think it's significant that the Catholic Church is taking a strong position on the abortion issue for the precise reason you mentioned, Todd, which is that the Catholic Church is well known as being a supporter of expanded healthcare access, however you want to express that. According to one report, the Bishops' Conference has letters in their files going all the way back to the Truman administration on this topic, you know, that they have for a long time been in favor of it. And so what that means is that when they come in and say, we want expanded access to health care, but we really object to what you're doing here, that's quite significant because, you know, if the Republican Party says, we don't want abortion and we don't want health care, everybody kind of expects that. But if they're going to put together a coalition to get any kind of universal health care passed, they really can't ignore the Catholic bishops and their influence and their political position, precisely because they do want the outcome. They do want some form of health care reform. And, you know, you or I might disagree with how badly they want it and what particularly they want, but the fact is that being a kind of a player in the thing means that they have to be taken seriously in a way that, you know, Tony Perkins and the Family Research Council does not have to be taken seriously because, you know, the Democrats presumably know there's nothing they're going to say that's going to get the Family Research Council on board, you know. But the Catholic bishops are in a very strong bargaining position, and I must say I'm pleased that they're using it, that they're not just rolling over and saying, oh, yes, we're Democrats no matter what. Because there are, trust me, there are Catholics who act like that and who think like that. But the Bishops' Conference is taking a very principled line on all of the issues that are related to life. And this is not the only one, by the way. The federal funding of abortion is not the only issue that's of concern to the bishops in that in the health care bill.
Okay. One of the things, I mean, I think in the end, while I share your enthusiasm for the involvement of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, this is somewhat modest from my perspective. I mean, I think they should be expected to do this,
yeah,
actually. And I'm concerned further that there are so many in the Democratic Party pushing for healthcare reform who are Roman Catholic. We're talking about,
yeah,
House members and senators who,
yeah,
are perfectly willing to expand federal funding for abortion. For them, it would make the bill sweeter.
Yes. You know, you and I have talked about this from time to time before, the Catholics in name only crowd that we have in so many places in Congress. I mean, I think it's safe to say that if you wanted to make Catholic teaching, the Catholic life teaching, brought to life more fully, you should replace all the Catholics in Congress with Mormons, and you'd probably get a more consistently Catholic outcome. And that's a sad thing to have to say, but there are a lot of people who are Democrats first and Catholics second. But again, the bishops, you know, I think what's happening, you know, for your listeners, Todd, you're probably not all Roman Catholics. I mean, I think the thing that's changing in the Catholic Church is that we're seeing a crop of bishops who've been appointed by John Paul II and Benedict. And we've got a clergy, the younger clergy are much more on board with the life issues and the five non-negotiable issues for the church. The men who were inspired to become priests because of John Paul II, the John Paul II generation of priests, you're going to see much more consistently supporting the church's position on all of the life issues. So really, it's the old fuddy-duddies who are the dinosaurs on all of these issues. It's the gray-haired guys who are singing Kumbaya and stuff like that. I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful to clergy, or I don't want to be disrespectful to anyone, but really, there's a kind of dated quality to some of the liberal stuff, you know, and a lot of the younger people, particularly younger priests, are looking at this and saying, you know what, we've been through the whole sexual revolution. And it has not, you know, we've seen how this works out, and these are all empty promises, and we're walking away from this, and we're going to promote the whole consistent life teaching of the church with joy and with enthusiasm and without apology. And so that's part of what you're seeing here, too, is that the bishops are taking the lead and their people are paying attention. I think that's the sense that I have, Todd.
All right. With only 1 minute, this healthcare reform bill has got a long ways to go. It's got
you
Senate
bet.
And then conference committee in the president's desk. Are the Catholic bishops going to keep their nose to the grindstone and keep the pressure on when this thing has to fight its way in the Senate and then elsewhere? 1 minute to respond.
You know, they say they are, and I think they are, and here's some of the things they're watching for. They're watching for conscience clause protection, good conscience protection, and I think they're finally wising up to the fact that the more authority you give the federal government to provide money for something, the greater the authority you give them to regulate something. And so as the federal involvement in healthcare gets broader and broader, the scope for the need for conscience protection gets greater and greater, because you can't say, well, if you take federal dollars, you have to follow federal rules. If you start talking like that, now everybody's getting federal dollars. That means everybody is potentially covered by whatever the regulations are. And
about 15 seconds.
They're watching. They're going to be watching for the conscience protection for the doctors and for the pharmacists. Pay attention to that. That's what the bishops are watching for now.
Folks, check out the website for Jennifer Roback Morse and the Ruth Institute tonight. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click on demand. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to be remembering all the way back to the 4th century, a bishop, a theologian, and a veteran of sorts, Martin of Tours. Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Then Kathy Hamlin of the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide will be our guest. We'll talk about suicide seminars being conducted by Australia's Dr. Death here in the U.S. Veterans Day will be the subject with Chaplain Jonathan Shaw in the last 10 minutes of Issues Etc. this Wednesday afternoon. Stay tuned.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over casserole in. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the 3 Concordia bookstores downtown, in Kirkwood, and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Every Tuesday, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Issues Etc. online at issuesetc.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org.